Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology in this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews entertaining and informative guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to those wondering where all this is taking us. And now your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski. Are you a grown-up? If so, you might at least occasionally feel that you have been left behind. You witness the speed of technological change and think, yikes, how am I ever supposed to keep up with this, especially when your kids are running digital circles around you. Well, today you will meet Diana Graber, co-founder of CyberWise, No Grown-Up Left Behind. Yes, the whole purpose of CyberWise.org is to assist us who have a lot other things to do to gain and maintain a measure of techno-literacy, including online safety, privacy, and digital citizenship. That way, parents, educators, and the adults can help kids embrace technology safely and wisely. Diana has long been a producer and marketer of media, including film, video, television, print, and live sports events. Together with her husband, she co-owns Graber Productions, an 8-time Emmy Award-winning film and video production company. She earned a BA in Communication Studies from UCLA and an MA from Fielding Graduate University, UCLA, in Media Psychology and Social Change. Is that perfect or what? Adding to producing the content for CyberWise, Diana also developed and teaches a middle school media literacy program called Cyber Civics. A regular contributor to Huffington Post and many other publications, she is often tapped by TV and radio broadcasters to comment on tech topics as a digital expert. She resides with her husband and 2 digital native daughters in Capistrano Beach, California. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Diana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm fascinated by the topic of media psychology. Can you give us an overview of what that subdiscipline involves?
Well, media psychology is a new and emerging field, and it focuses on the relationship between media and human behavior. So we study basically how humans interact with media and how they interact with each other due to media's influence. So you can imagine with the rise of technology, there's an awful lot to study.
Right. Well, that's right up my alley. As we discovered when we chatted on the phone, we see things a lot in similar ways. So we're planning 2 episodes with you as guest, and the first one we're going to talk about today is adults, and the next one we'll talk specifically about the youth. But for today, how can adults keep from, quote, being left behind, unquote?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website.
Shameless Excellent. That's
here.
Easy enough.
But, you know, really, that's why we started CyberWise.org, because we wanted adults to have a place they could go if they were feeling like they were left behind. And really, the long and short of it is my partner, CyberWise partner Cynthia, and I met while pursuing this MA in Media Psychology and Social Change. And we felt like there was so much great information for adults, but it wasn't really getting to the people who needed it most, which are parents and teachers.
Right.
And so we decided to put, you know, we both have backgrounds in entertainment and media, so we decided to put that to work in, well, for lack of a better way to say it, dumbing down all this information we were learning and making it bite-sized and easily accessible for adults. So we have all kinds of information on technology topics, from online safety to privacy, on our site for adults.
That's funny, because I just finally broke down and picked up one of those books, Such and Such for Dummies, you know.
Yeah.
I have resisted it because I don't like to think of myself as a dummy. But the problem is that actually, I don't think it's so much a case of dumbing down as bringing it back to common sense or a normal, natural way of talking about things. So many times, specialists, whether it's academia or within a profession, they get so, they're into their own jargon, their own vocabulary, And it really sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Right. So I'm glad you're making this, you're normalizing this discussion.
Well, you know, what we found is that, you know, I guess it happens in every industry, but what we found in the area of media and digital literacy, there were so many academics talking to each other, and they were kind of repeating the same thing again. And I find myself even doing that, you know? Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is just bring that information, you know, in little bits that adults can grab simply and walk away with some new knowledge about what kids are doing online or what they could be doing online to enhance their own lifestyles.
That's right, because we aren't sitting here studying this topic like, you know, if we have the luxury of making a full-time study of it, that's wonderful.
Right.
But
right.
For most people, we, you know, you've already got your life is crammed full, and especially for parents. I just cannot
right.
imagine. Parenting has always been hard enough, but now you
yeah.
add this whole other dimension of life. So, yeah, we really see eye to eye on that. What else can you tell us about, you know, just how CyberWise.org is going about this?
Well, as I mentioned, what we try to do on our website is we make videos and we make short ebooks on different topics related to technology, and then we gather all the latest research and news. We send out a newsletter. We have a daily e-paper that can be delivered to your email box. It has the top digital tips of the day. We do workshops. We have a curriculum that we do in school. So we're really all over the place trying to, you know, enhance people's understanding of technology. And really, you know, the bottom line is it is overwhelming for parents. But what I always tell parents is we have to remember that technology is just a tool, and what's important is to understand the behaviors behind it. And behavior doesn't change. So if we can understand that, it really takes the fear away. And if we can instill our children with, you know, wise behaviors, safe behaviors, that's really what they need from us in this digital age.
That is where the psychology comes from, in.
Correct.
The media psychology aspect of it. And I love the analogy that another of your colleagues, someone who works very much in the same realm, education of digital issues, is Richard Geary of Public and Permanent. And he uses the analogy of fire. In fact, in his speaking, he'll carry one of those little lighting wands and light it up every once in a while, that just like discovering fire, it is very hazardous, very dangerous, and can do a lot of damage, but it can also be a tool and a servant. So I'm glad that is basically what you're encouraging. Why is it that online behaviors are more important than the digital tools?
Well, you know, tools come and go, and a lot of times when I talk to parents, they'll be really overwhelmed over the social media tools that kids are using. You know, it used to be Facebook, and now it's Instagram and Snapchat, and then all of a sudden comes along Yik Yak and Burn Book, and that seems overwhelming. But when we remember that tools will come and go, you know, there's going to be a new social media next week, there's going to be a new iPhone or version of the iPhone, that stuff is going to change. But our behaviors and the way that we use the tools, that's evergreen. And so if we can remember that and help our children develop good behaviors, and we do that by modeling those behaviors ourselves, then that really is what it means to be digitally literate. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Digitally literate.
Right. Well, Diana, what to you is most fascinating? What stands out to you in terms of central thoughts for parents and educators and any adult, really, in terms of dealing with this new realm that children and young people, teens and so forth, all of us need to deal with it? What stands out to you?
Well, I think one of the best sayings I've ever heard in this realm is it's about neurology, not technology. And that's really important to keep in mind because, you know, these tools are going to come and go, but our neurology basically stays the same. And parenting hasn't changed all that much. So, you know, really our role as parents is, well, it's kind of trifold. And I think, number one, it's, you know, to be a good role model because children are watching us from the time they're very young. You know, when we mm-hmm. are at the dinner table picking up the iPhone, you know, in front of our two-year-old, I mean, that's something that they're going to record. And then secondly, I think being curious, you know, as a parent, Ask your child. I mean, ask any kid on the street if you have a question about how to use Twitter or if you want to know how to post something on Facebook or to tag somebody. Kids love to share their knowledge. So it's really handy for us to be able to ask them to tell us about their world. I mean, it's a great way to learn.
Well, that's interesting because it's really, it's a way of turning it against itself in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you're worried about technology subtracting from the meaningful conversation you have with your kids or any kids, you can make the conversation about the digital tools that they're using. And you're right, kids do love to, they're good teachers, really.
Oh, yeah,
they
love to share their world, especially when they're first getting online. They're really excited about it. And, you know, I hear this all the time when I teach digital literacy to kids, especially around 6th and 7th grade, when they're just getting on social networks. They're so excited about it because that's where it's all happening for them. And they want to share that world with their parents. And so what I always tell parents is, you know, if your kid's getting on Instagram, it's time for you to get on Instagram, you know. This is your opportunity to be part of their world. And, you know, that door closes pretty fast. I mean, teens aren't so anxious to have us in that world, but if we're there already, it's kind of hard to ask us to leave.
Oh, yes.
Well, I would tell every, you know, parent or adult, take a step in that door and be curious and try this stuff out and see what the buzz is all about.
Right. Well, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, QuickBooks Self-Employed. They are offering you, our listener, an entire year at 50% discount. So just go to tryselfemployed.com/network. For us, of course, Social Network Show. You know what a hassle it can be for keeping personal and business expenses separate. So, for instance, if you're a caterer, those groceries you bought for your next catering gig won't get mixed up with the food you bought for the cookout with your friends this weekend. It includes tools to help maximize deductions, like your home office and mileage, my big bugaboo, so you keep more of your hard-earned money. Find out what QuickBooks Self-Employed can do for you and save 50% by visiting our special site designed for us by QuickBooks, tryselfemployed.com/network. That's tryselfemployed.com/network. So we're going to come back with discussing more with Diana Graber, and we talk about what are the most important digital life skills that you can learn and inform you of a great and inexpensive way to attain them. This is Dr. J, and I'm so happy that you are listening to the Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where you are hearing from Diana Graber of cyberwise.org, No Grown Up Left Behind. So, Diana, one of the things that we'd most like to focus on is the resources that you have for adults. And especially with regard to that, what are the 6 most important digital life skills, in your opinion?
Well, actually, I'll give that a little bit of context. A couple years ago, we were lucky enough to work with a Verizon Wireless and a nonprofit called I Keep Safe, who had gathered up a whole bunch of research from different communities, including law enforcement officers and health practitioners and cybersecurity experts. And basically, they culled all this research to find out what are the digital skills that we need most in order to really excel in this new digital world we're living in. And
fortunately,
for us, it was very, very interesting. And, you know, all the groups kind of concurred that it distilled into really 6 kind of hallmark skills that we need. And fortunately for us, they broke down into a handy little acronym called Be a Pro. And so Be a Pro stands for these 6 skills, which are balance, ethical use, privacy, relationships, reputation, and online safety. So if you have, you know, a general literacy in those 6 skills, you can pretty much consider yourself an expert online.
So can you tell us a little bit about balance? What is, we all strive for some kind of balance. What are the things we're trying to balance?
Well, you know, I'm actually really excited that the acronym starts with B, because in my mind, this is really the most essential skill, and I think it's becoming more and more important as we get further into this digital world that we're living in. You know, it's hard for all of us to strike a balance between, you know, staring at our iPhones and checking the last email or text message and just living our offline lives and being connected with the people around us. It's tough, you know, and imagine how hard it is for kids. I mean, it's tough enough for an adult to balance all their lives. And for a child, it's nearly impossible because they don't really have, you know, that frontal lobe isn't developed yet that allows us to actually set limits and decide when to turn from one task to another.
Oh, good point.
A lot of research is showing us now that it really takes almost till age 25 for that fully developed. And as we know, in some people it never develops, you know.
Well, listen, you know, that makes me think of Rafi, the Kavukian, the entertainer for children, that he calls it shiny tech, all of the devices and so forth, because there is such an appeal. There's such a draw. It's fascinating. It's sparkly, you know. What is that?
Right.
And why is mom or dad got it in their hand all the time? And, of course, if it's in your hand, they want it in their hand.
It's more than that. It's also the draw of being social. You know, for kids especially, all their friends live in that little device, you know.
It's a way
for them to be connected with their social group 24/7, you know. And that's a huge draw, and that's hard to turn off. So I think balance is really an important skill for all of us.
Especially when solitude and reflection is really a big part of developing the things that are, you know, centered in that frontal lobe.
Creativity.
That would be interesting.
I mean, we need that quiet time, and largely it's being harder and harder for us to find that in our world. So, you know, I'm really hoping for the pendulum to swing and for all the things that we used to have in our lives, solitude and quiet time and time for reflection and creativity. I hope that we can find a way to ease that back into our lives.
So what's the next skill?
The next one is ethical use, and I like this one too because, you know, it's important to remember that almost everything we do online requires an ethical choice. I mean, from deciding whether to upload a photo that might be unflattering to a friend or downloading music or a movie that we may not have the rights to, all those are ethical choices. And, you know, once again, it's something that requires some thought on the part of the person using the device on whether or not to do something that may be unethical. And for adults, that can be a challenge. For kids, it's really a challenge because, once again, they don't have the cognitive capacities often to engage in ethical thinking. In fact, you know, kids can't engage in ethical thinking until about 12 years of age. So when we have real young kids online and they are posting inappropriate things, I mean, it's really not their fault because they don't really have the capacity to think through the results of their actions. So that's something else that we need to help them with.
Right. Hence the need, vital need for guidance.
Right.
Not only to keep them, to insert that kind of ethical thinking, but to help train them in adopting it themselves or learning to, it's like a skill, learning to use it and accomplish it on their own.
Right.
So this might be a blessing in disguise, you know. It may alert more people to the fact that these things really do need to be taught. They're not just picked up from the environment.
Right, and you know that it goes so hand in hand with balance, which is the first skill, because you know part of being an ethical participant of the online world is really understanding and having an appreciation for other people's feelings. You know, having that empathy piece. And really that's developed by, you know, having personal in-person touching contact, you know. And so if we have a kid in front of a computer from the time they're two, they're not developing that eye contact and that ability to read facial expressions or social cues. You know, those are very important skills that we all want our society to take into adulthood.
Good point. So balance and ethical use, what else?
Well, then there's privacy. That's a big one. You can't pick up the news today without reading something about privacy. And that's learning really how to protect our information online. And I like teaching this one to kids in particular because, you know, we start giving away privacy very young online. And in fact, a lot of parents give away our children's privacy, you know, from the time they're born, posting their name and where they were born and where they go to school. You know, all that private information becomes public information very fast. You know, every time we sign up for something online, you know, we think, oh, this is a free app or this is a free service. But we have to remember that what we're paying for is with our personal information. So, you know, that's the negotiation that happens online that I think it's very important for us to all be aware of and to learn how to maintain privacy and to learn little tricks to, you know, be a better protector of our privacy, you know, how to make safe passwords and when and where to give away personal information. It's a big skill and it's a tough one to learn.
Mm-hmm. So we have balance, ethical use, privacy. Let's see, that's three. We've got three to go. What are they?
Well, we have the two R's, which are equally important, and we'll tackle the first one first, which is relationships. And, you know, the online world, especially social media, is all about relationships, and it's really what draws all of us online, but especially if you're a preteen or a teen where your relationships is what's really important in your life. So what we try to do through teaching digital literacy is teach people, you know, some skills in order to maintain safe relationships online. And that means, you know, learning about cyberbullying and how to avoid it and how to manage it and what to do if you see it. The other part of relationships is to have safe relationships. So, you know, we talk about sexting and pornography. You know, there's definite things to look out for and ways to avoid and what to do if you see it. So all of those things are skills that we can learn under the acronym of R for relationships.
Okay, relationship. And there's another R?
The next R is reputation. And another way to think of reputation is as your digital footprint, because everything we do online and everything that we say or post or anything that someone else says about us or posts about us, that forms our digital reputation. You know, and today people really judge you by your reputation, whether you're going out for a job or whether you're a child applying for college or your first job. You know, people largely look at your digital reputation to decide if they want to hire you, befriend you, let you into their college. So understanding how to manage a reputation, not only to keep the bad things off of it, but also to form it with positive things and positive information about yourself, that's an important skill to have, especially in the 21st century where our reputation is really everything.
And the last one, I believe, is online security, which, of course, we're all concerned about. And how do you distinguish that from the other things you've talked about so far?
Well, I think of online security as being more of the tangible skills. You know, those are things like learning how to back up the information on your computer or how to get, you know, organize the filtering softwares on your browsers or even on your mobile devices. You know, understanding how things work online so that you can organize your equipment better. You know, it's just the tangible, important skills that we need to know in order to use our devices safely and securely.
Right. Well, that has been a great summary of what we really need to know. And Diane, I thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
And I look forward to talking with you next week about the kids and things especially for them.
Great. And one thing I did want to say that I didn't mention, you know, these skills can seem very overwhelming, but one of the things we offer through CyberWise are very short online courses. They're like $8. On each of these
things,
so that in a few hours, an adult can go online and understand and get certified. We give a little certificate and a quiz at the end of each of these courses, so they really understand these important digital life skills and then can share them with their children and really make their whole family's lives online a lot safer.
Great. I imagine you can link to that from cyberwise.org.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's at cyberwise.org, and they're called our Digital Life Skills courses.
All right.
And the first one's free.
All right. Get started. Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. I appreciate your loyalty to listening to the show. I know you do that because you appreciate the content. By the way, I'd like to encourage you to check out our other shows on the socialnetworkstation.com. And that includes Women Worldwide and the Hashtag Show. So until next time, I hope that you will have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show. the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.